Thanks everyone for coming. I don't know if this other microphone is working. I'm assuming
it's recording you.
This might be the first event I've been invited to via Twitter, maybe. I mean, that was only part of it, right? I have so many. Thank you so much for that introduction. I have so many thoughts, even in response to what you were just saying. I hate Walt Whitman. He always struck me as a kind of like, not Hannibal Lecter, but the guy in Silence of the Lambs who collects skins. That always seemed like his brand of democracy, that he was, his brand of universalizing was that he was just collecting people. So even though he's maybe the patron saint of this occasion, I have to maybe acknowledge that. And he wrote an editorial in the process of him sort of like, anyway, I won't get into that, never mind. I wanna thank part of my family for being here. I wanna thank Elaine for being here. And I know my partner and my child are in Tucson. So I know this is being recorded, so I'm just gonna wave to the camera if they ever watch it. So it's true, 2 years ago I came to this campus because I wanted to see Ruth Asawa's garden. How many people here are students here? Okay. So as Steve said, I was here for a couple hours, and it was summer, so I did take a nap and I took notes. And I thought, tonight I'm going to read one poem, and then I'm also going to read something about the garden that I wrote for tonight. I finished it last night. I'm sleeping in my niece's bed. So thank you to Winnie for letting me write in her bedroom. So I'm going to read that, and then I'm going to read a poem from my book, The Desert. And both of the things I'm going to read are related to Japanese American incarceration. So internment is a legal term that refers to enemy aliens or aliens being incarcerated or detained, because 2/3 of the Japanese Americans that were incarcerated were citizens of the United States. The correct term is incarceration. So I just put together some thoughts I was having about Ruth Asawa in the Garden of Remembrance. This is kind of fresh, so bear with me. Some notes on Ruth Asawa and the Garden of Remembrance. Ruth Aiko Asawa is one of my favorite artists. I love her especially for her shadows. I mean the shadows that her work, her wire sculptures in particular, casts on the walls before which they hang. Shadows which are, in some lights, even more intricate and miraculous than the intricate and miraculous sculptures themselves. But I believe, and I wonder if Ruth believed, that there is a difference. There is no difference. Ruth Asawa was born January 24th, 1926, in Norwalk, California, to Haru and Umakichi Asawa, immigrants from Japan and vegetable farmers. Ruth was one of seven children. One of her first exhibited works of art was a painting of a polar bear with an aurora borealis above its head. She was 9. When she was 13, her drawing of the Statue of Liberty won an award. When she was 16, she, her mother, and brothers and sisters were forcibly removed from their home and incarcerated, first in the Santa Anita Detention Center, northeast of LA, then in the Roer concentration camp in Arkansas in 1942. Umakichi, meanwhile, was arrested by the FBI and incarcerated in the Department of Justice prison in Santa Fe. The Asawas would not see him for another 6 years. If you want to visit Santa Anita, start with Aisuke Kondo's video, Santa Anita, which you can find on his website. Santa Anita was a racetrack. The Asawas lived in horse stalls. You could see the strands of hair between the cracks where the horses rubbed the boards, Ruth said. Among the prisoners were illustrators for Walt Disney. They taught art classes in the bleachers. Ruth counted one of them, Tom Okamoto, among her first influences. After 5 months, the Asawas were relocated by train to Arkansas. The first thing I heard about the train rides from the detention centers to the concentration camps was that the Japanese Americans were instructed to pull the shades down and keep them down. The guards did not want them to see where they were going, even though they would not have known by looking out the window where they were or where that was. They were being ferried beyond forgetting into bleached outer space. The rower camp, which incarcerated 8,475 Japanese Americans, was the easternmost of the 10 main camps and was located in a swamp 5 miles west of the Mississippi River. Ruth took art classes. She also volunteered to make camouflage netting. The netting was used to hide military installations on the West Coast, bases, factories, vehicles, etc., from the Japanese. Volunteered is a liberal term. The Japanese Americans were used in all the camps as cheap or free labor for agricultural, infrastructural, and military projects. After 18 months, Ruth was sponsored by the Japanese American Student Relocation Council, a Quaker organization, to attend Milwaukee State Teachers College. She studied art education, but was prevented from completing her degree. The degree required a year of teaching, but no one in Wisconsin would hire her. Meanwhile, Ruth heard about Black Mountain College in North Carolina. She attended Black Mountain from 1946 to 1949. She studied with Joseph Albers, who instilled in Ruth the belief that neither negative nor positive space is more important than the other, that a sculptural object, for example, is not more important than its background. Perhaps the only entirely new and probably the most important aspect of today's language of forms, said Joseph Albers, is the fact that negative elements, the remainder, the intermediate, the subtractive, are made active. I don't want to be influenced, said Ruth Asawa, by my unhappiness. Ruth created the Garden of Remembrance here at San Francisco State University to honor the memory of 19 Japanese American students who, in early 1942, disappeared from campus. The garden was built in collaboration with Shigeru Namba, a master gardener, and Isao Ogura, a master landscaper, and was dedicated April 19, 2002. By the time it was completed, many of the 19 students were dead. The 19 students were Hatsune Arita, Dora Sato, Grace Matsuda, Mary Hata, Tom Satoshi Yoshiyama, Yoshiko Miya, Catherine Kawamorita, Atsuko Yusa, Akiko Nishioka, Helen Nita, Norman Koyama, Percy Fukushima, Tomiko Suto, Helen Maeda, George Hirose, Mei Yoshino, Aiko Nishi, John Kikuchi, and Kaya Kitagawa. Kaya Kitagawa, who was a music major, was incarcerated with her family in the Tanfran Detention Center south of San Francisco. They lived for 6 months in the same stall in which lived the famed racehorse Seabiscuit. Towards the end of his career in 1939, Seabiscuit tore a ligament in his leg and was sent to Tanfran to recover. 3 years later, the Kitagawas moved into Seabiscuit's stalls. They had not been cleaned. Manure and urine were baked into the floor. According to Kaya, it was the highest in the hierarchy of stall assignments. Kaya's father was the chief administrator of Tanfran's hospital. He made $19 a month. Seabiscuit made approximately $5,000 per race. The Tanfran Detention Center is now a shopping mall. It is located across Highway 101 from the airport at the intersections of Interstate 380, El Camino Real, and Sneath Lane. The deification of a horse made by people to run in circles for money is the deification of money and the death of both people and the horse. The shopping mall's logo is a drawing of a horse's head. A statue of Seabiscuit stands outside the main entrance. It is hideous. Seabiscuit's eyes are inflamed, deranged, and stare down as if he is afraid of touching the ground. The detention center was obscured from public view by eucalyptus trees and a barbed wire fence. Now it is obscured by BJ's Restaurant and Brew House. Just beyond the patio of BJ's Restaurant and Brew House is a small memorial garden. A plaque reads, This garden memorializes a time when this site was transformed into a temporary assembly center for persons of Japanese ancestry. Take note, the memorialization is of a time, not of the persons of Japanese ancestry who were among its casualties. 7,816 Japanese Americans were detained under armed guard in 180 barracks, 26 of which were horse stalls. The difference between a horse stall and not a horse stall is not a difference in comfort or weather resistance. There was none, but manure, urine, strands of hair between cracks. When I visited Tanfran in late summer 2017, the memorial garden outside BJ's restaurant and brew house, all of the plants were dead. The garden was created by the same team who worked with Ruth on the garden at San Francisco State University. Here is a description of what I saw. 19 rocks arranged on a bed of sand, white roses dead in disorganized rows, an enormous corrugated copper-colored beer vat, and clumps of horsetail referencing, I assume, Seabiscuit, whose shadow is as long as it is white and transparent. The persons of Japanese ancestry, meanwhile, have been transmuted by the garden, the mall, and by BJ's restaurant and brew house into ghosts and are being made to trail without end the people entering and exiting the mall. My grandfather, Midori Shimoda, was incarcerated in a Department of Justice prison in Missoula, Montana, under suspicion of being a spy for Japan. The first incarceration site I visited was his. He had been dead for 8 years. I was following him into the ruins, but I did not stop at Fort Missoula. I have, in the years since, continued to follow my grandfather into the ruins. It is as if I am looking not for him, but through him, to understand a history that is not history, but a haunting of the present. I do not know if the relationship is one between myself and my grandfather, myself and Japanese American history, or myself and insanity. By insanity, I mean the indentured, perpetual, ultimately Sisyphean, therefore hellish return to the ruins, for which there does not, within the continuum of American amnesia, seem to be any resolution, even change, only solitude and vegetation. See also Isake Kondo's video, Here Where You Stood. The ruins are everywhere and are multiplying. They exist not only in the incarceration sites, but in the ways the experience of incarceration has been inherited, as well as in the ways that inheritance is being cared for and put to use. Stories and testimonies, memorials and exhibitions, legislation and the subjugating myth of democracy, gardens of remembrance, of forgetting. My partner, the poet Dot Devota, and I visited Ruth Asawa's Garden of Remembrance in late summer 2017. As Steve said, we took naps in the grass and took notes. Here are my notes. A waterfall is speaking to 10 stones beneath 3 large evergreen trees in a triangle of grass. The stones represent the 10 main concentration camps and are arranged in correlation to the camps' geographical locations. The 2 easternmost stones, representing Rower and Jerome, 27 miles away from each other in Arkansas, are closest to the waterfall. The 4 westernmost stones, representing Tule Lake, Manzanar, Post, and Gila River, are the furthest from the waterfall, so must strain to hear the waterfall's sound. There is, between the waterfall and the stones, a Japanese maple. Beneath the maple is a plaque. The plaque is inscribed with the names of the 19 disappeared students, as well as documents, including Public Law 100-383, the Civil Liberties Act of 1988, and Chapter 570 of Assembly Bill 1915. The plaque is also inscribed with this bit of optimism. The rock waterfall celebrates the release of these Americans from incarceration and World War II restrictions. SFSU President Robert Corrigan asked Ruth if she would design a fountain. That must have been, in the president's estimation, all that was needed, a self-rejuvenating sound. The waterfall that grew out of the fountain was meant by its sound to symbolize the return of the Japanese Americans to their homes, their communities, their campuses. But I do not hear in the sound celebration. The Japanese Americans were not welcomed back. The only college west of the Mississippi that accepted Japanese American students was the University of Colorado. The waterfall is not celebrating. The waterfall is dark. Its sound is propulsive. The waterfall is angry. And yet the waterfall's anger is the kind of anger that is being imposed upon constantly by hopelessly fleeting and ultimately non-committal calls for peace, to never forget, to not let this happen again. It is an anger, therefore, sublimated by memorial, by memorialization, an anger that is lapsing over time into resignation and oblivion. What is a memorial if not an occasion or space in which life is transformed into memory? Christina Sharp, in her book In the Wake on Blackness and Being, asks the following fundamental question: how do we memorialize an event that is still ongoing? Take another look at the Japanese maple. It is bleeding on the plaque. Its blood is green. The green blood is erasing Chapter 570 of Assembly Bill 1915. The green blood is erasing Public Law 100-383, the Civil Liberties Act of 1988. The green blood is erasing the names of the 19 Japanese American students. The green blood will eventually erase the entirety of the plaque until only a scroll green with no words remains. The green blood, spontaneous and unexpected, is the mark of a transcendent art. The Garden of Remembrance was created by a Japanese American woman for 19 Japanese American students, as well as herself, and yet it was willed more specifically to nature. Maybe the aspiration, as well as the death of all memorialization, is the appetite of green blood that bleeds slowly but surely from the veins of a Japanese maple. My favorite film about Japanese American incarceration is Ria Tajiri's Strawberry Fields from 1997. In addition to having an entirely Asian American cast, Strawberry Fields is the only feature-length fiction film about Japanese American incarceration that does not center a white love interest and or savior. For example, Dennis Quaid in Come See the Paradise, Ethan Hawke in Snow Falling on Cedars. And it is the only feature-length fiction film that centers the perspective of a descendant of incarceration. It begins with the following lines, spoken in voiceover by a young Sansei woman. In 1942, my grandfather burned the family's possessions in the strawberry fields behind the house. He thought if he burned them, no one could take their things after they were gone. Near the end of their lives, Umekichi and Haru Asawa bought a small piece of land to start a strawberry farm. Haru lived to be 95, Umekichi lived to be 87, Ruth Asawa also lived to be 87. She died on August 5th, 2013 in San Francisco. Thank you. Also, speaking of Twitter, I've been posting Ruth Asawa's drawings, which are incredible. Most of them are archived on her website. As I started saying, she's one of my favorite artists. So I'm going to read one poem from my book, The Desert, and it's called Gila River. I moved to Southern Arizona in 2011, knowing very little about its carceral history, and in particular, its relevance to Japanese American history. So in the course of researching, as I've mentioned, my grandfather has kind of become the portal through which I'm now researching other aspects of Japanese American history. I discovered that in Southern Arizona, there were at least 7 incarceration sites that were used during World War II, including 2 of the largest of the camps, Poston and Gila River. Gila River is the only former concentration camp that requires permission to enter, and it's because it's on tribal land. So twice a year, the tribal council invites people, preferably descendants or people somehow related to the history, to come onto the land and do volunteer work. So basically cleaning up or painting over graffiti. So I went there 2 Novembers ago, And it was this caravan of maybe 50 Japanese Americans primarily. And we spent several hours just picking up broken bottles and then just kind of hanging out there. It's just south of Phoenix. It's beautiful. It's beautiful land, former cotton fields, and there's olive groves there. So after I got home, one of several of my writing processes is I write as I'm falling asleep, partly so that I can get outside of myself and just kind of process the day's events. So this is a poem that I was writing that I wrote as I was falling asleep, thinking about my time at Gila River. The prisoners lived for many years, had children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren burned very quietly to ash, cut rectangles in the floor, dug holes in the dirt to stay cool in July, folded their bodies like paper, fell asleep in the holes. Rivers evaporated, the prisoners disintegrated, not even their secrets. Japanese Americans were not looking at themselves turning white. Not the cotton, not the descendants of bloodless cotton, the children's fathers refused to pick. Children were shy, had stories to tell, not their own, but those not resolved, still dirty. A Nisei woman was asked if she would like to speak, share her story. The people facing the gleaming snow looked sad for a moment, then vulturous, sad again. The Nisei woman shook her head. No, she said. Are you sure? She was asked. I don't remember enough to share, she said. As she was looking through the snow, she remembered everything, but could not, 7 decades later, associate herself with the subjects. When the children arrived, there were turtles. Snapping turtles like helmets greeted the children. Turtles deep, deep, deep in the ditches, slowly rose and snapped at the children. Like Yoshiko, wearing a dress of her mother's crumpled face, walked right up to the ditch and peered in. Children were grabbed, pulled in, became turtles. How could she forget? The turtles were the solace of America. You don't forget. You are tricked into putting your hand in mirror green water. Your hand stays stuck. You stop looking. Eyes were olives. Children were torches. One of each twin drowned or burned down to the dirt, where grandparents, on their hands and knees, reenacted the rose and the thorn. Long hair dangled over water. Seasons stretched camouflage nets across the suburbs. Shotgun shells, spoons, heels of shoes, talons, forked tongues, arrow-tipped tails, the wake of a temple, men sitting beneath spiraling flowers. Mother was very popular with the ghosts that grew out of the ditches. They were soldiers, deep into the harmony of their hunger. Children sat on the hill, watched the desert changing colors, the stars lower on tendons. Movies smelled. Carcasses came out to narrate the silences. Some sank into the cold, impenetrable shrapnel fallen from tens of thousands of miles. Only children remember to forget with such warm innocence, being struck by the sun, not innocence, guilt, not the opposite of innocence, but, like the dissolution of a flower into fruit, compensation and the will to be stolen. Noriyuki was 11, had spinal TB when he was incarcerated as an enemy of the United States. His body was cut from the cast and propped up in front of the moving mirage. Noriyuki, better or worse known as Mr. Miyagi, for whom Noriyuki put on the accent of an immigrant from Okinawa. His inscrutability was part of the trick, the coming into consciousness of a Japanese man who had no one. War extinguished truth. The country trained him to be someone else, not other, but native. By pretending to be someone else, not native, but foreign, he stood in the bush until the bush became ice. When Mr. Miyagi gets drunk and relives the war, are we not supposed to imagine Noriyuki, the actor, summoning the memory of the war he was living as a child, prisoner? Is that misunderstanding or a misunderstanding? Did you have anyone in the 442nd? No, I said. My ancestors are not corpses, propped up right in the corner. My ancestors do not stand in cold rooms in the dark, draped with lights in which my face is warped, waiting to be turned on to dance in the window. From afar, incarceration looks like internment. It is always day. No, Japanese Americans exist at night. The river is full. Japanese Americans gather in the sundown on the banks of the abundant river to pay respects to the primal thinking of white men and women, distant, futuristic, summer or winter or walking down the reservation. Wild animals raised their heads, land stretched away. The further away the train, the less it moved. Children watched their parents' faces, framed in squares and rectangles of light, seam of stars, then dark, then darkness. Did it feel like travel? Guarantee of returning? Their movements were curtailed. Sound was rhythmic suture, dreams of the wheels slipping off. Wild animals moved fast in the shadow of rocks. I will see you again, incriminated by the sadness of someone else's dream, without ending. Migration becomes internal for those who do not leave, keep the memory leaving, delocated. Migration was a test. The destination was the extent to which a soul could be transformed. The United States wanted to replace with a clock the furnace of assimilation. Earth harbors unintelligible tongues in the core, tongues of flame they are called. The earth answers with its cavernous body, I release you into the custody of culture. The toll is paid by the enslaved, exploited, exterminated. How did it feel to be surrounded by Japanese Americans with whom you were not related? Prison. I felt like I was standing in a graveyard, waiting for the sun to pass into eclipse, for the light to christen what was buried beneath the long ship-like passage of shadow. I don't remember the way you remember. I don't remember a prison but Easter. I don't remember which season or burying. In the forbidden sight of each blackened window, a face permeated, the face of each age of death, fit fruitfully into a box. Each face was made, each face made real, pores that recalled the frustrated youth of grandmothers. Why is your skin so smooth? My grandmother asked one night. I came out of the bathroom. I was a child. The night was supposed to feel endless, insatiable, was stunted. I saw myself in the window, superimposed on a tree and a deer with red eyes cut in half. I wash my face, I said. I wash my face too. Thank you.